We carry on today with, we've been looking at this man of lawlessness. And this is really just, is the description of the Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist. And we have seen that the scriptures refer to him as the son of, either the son of perdition, or the mystery of iniquity, or the man of lawlessness. And yesterday we started looking about the warnings of God in 2 Thessalonians and from chapter 2, sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, yes, and from verse 1 to 12. So we were able to see that he's described, Paul was trying to refute a claim where some people had produced a letter, supposedly that even from those of Paul, claiming that the end of the world had come and the day of the Lord had come. And as such, they were deceiving the people, but he tries to teach them, to explain to them that there are certain events that must happen first before the end finally comes. And this is also, it's in addition and complementary to the revelation of Jesus, which Jesus had already given the church, of which we had seen in Matthew 24. And he describes that day will not happen except first there be, a great rebellion, a great falling away. And this is where we see that, people will hate God. There'll be a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness will be revealed, although he's that work is already at work secretly. And this is what we're able to see, that when we speak of the Antichrist, we speak of not only the person but also the spirit, the spirit. So the already the work of lawlessness, or the spirit of Antichrist, is already at work in the world. And even from the time of Paul, it was already at work, because these are people who reject the gospel, and these are people who reject God, and is already, controlling and fighting. But then there is this specific man who shall appear, and this man is being held back because the person holding him back has not yet left the scene. And we believe from the scriptures that the person holding him is the church. And so when the church is goes out of the way, which we believe is in the place of rapture, then that man of lawlessness will be revealed. And, but eventually we know, and the Bible tells us, that he will be destroyed with the splendor of the coming of the Lord Jesus and with just the breath of his mouth. So Jesus will come back and destroy him. And that's why, maybe just to highlight here, there's what we call the second coming, which is now when Christ comes, victorious as a king, and he destroys the Antichrist, or the devil and his forces. But then there's also the rapture. So ideally, those are two different events. So in the rapture, the church is taken away. They meet the Lord in the air, and they stay with him. They fellowship with him. But then at the end of the 7 years, then now Jesus has now the second coming, where he comes with his and destroys the Antichrist with his army, and then he comes and institutes, that 1,000 or millennial year reign. And at the end of the millennial year reign, 1,000 years, where he shall rule physically in Jerusalem and on the earth. And the nations that will still have rejected will not be, they'll be outside Jerusalem. But then at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil shall be released, and, he shall deceive the people, and they will come and wage war against Christ, and Christ will defeat them. So ideally, if you're to draw a timeline, you'll be able to see that, the 42-year period, or the, the 42 months or 3.5 years of the Antichrist happens. Then the rapture happens in the middle of that. Then in this initial period, the man of lawlessness, he behaves with intrigue. He behaves with deception. He deceives the people. And after he deceives the people, then he gets to power. He worships God, money as his God. And then he blasphemes God. He rejects over everything that is called God. And eventually, you know, he claims to be the one that is to be worshipped. And then the persecution of the church begins. He persecutes the church. And the Bible tells us that everyone who refuses the truth, everyone who has rejected the truth, will be subject to his deception, because they are already doomed to destruction. And God will allow them to be deceived because they have already rejected the truth. So this is what we're able to see. And we started to now, we also were able to look at 1 John chapter 4, where we saw that, you know, there are two spirits. There's the spirit of Christ and the spirit of error. And we are told not to believe any spirit or every spirit that appears, because you need to test everyone that claims to speak by the Spirit of Christ. And this is very important, because the devil also has what we call the false prophet, and we will see it today in Revelations. And those people who, you know, but how do we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? The spirit of error does not accept that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And you will find that the Antichrist spirit always will try and argue that Jesus came as a human. And you will see people saying that, no, it was not him that was crucified on the cross. It was just his ghost that was crucified. So anyone that rejects that Jesus appeared in the flesh, came in the flesh and died on the cross, that is the spirit of the Antichrist, you know. And and John tells us that you had his coming into the world, and indeed is already here, but we are told not to fear, because you children belong to God, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have already won a great victory. So we've already won that victory. And we must be aware that those who belong to God will listen to us. But those who don't listen to us, they don't belong to God, because they are under the spirit of deception. And I said, let's not worry about those who not listen to us, because at the end of the day, they belong to and they follow after the spirit of error. And so today we are in Revelation chapter 13. And we will look at we started looking at the description of the Antichrist. And here we'll see there are three symbolic creatures, or three symbolic creatures that are described. One we see is that there is the first beast, who we describe to as the Antichrist. And then in verse 11 of 13, Revelation 13, we see the second beast, which we refer to as a false prophet. And then we also have seen in verse 4 the dragon, which refers to the devil. So we're going to read, and by the grace of God, we'll have understanding of the beasts. So the Bible says that verse 13, chapter 13, Revelation verse 1, it says, "Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had seven heads and ten horns, and with ten crowns on its horn, and on each of one of the head were names that blasphemed God." So they had, you know, seven heads and ten crowns, with ten crowns on its horn. And the beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority, gave him his seat. Now, I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed, and the whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. So they worshipped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is as great as the beast?" they exclaimed, "Who is able to fight him?" So what we see in the first description of the Antichrist is described as, you know, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 10 horns having 10 crowns. And ideally, as we know, the description of the Antichrist is not only a spirit, but also a person. And I believe this to me, the aspects of the, you know, the seven heads and the 10 horns describes more of the alliances that will be formed, of which, you know, they will and we can see it in the various forms of, you know, of what we call the mountains of influence, the seven mountains of influence. So we also see that the enemy also has the seven heads, which in which he tries to control, you know, these areas of politics, entertainment, education, you know, music, and all this, you know, commerce and all these things. And in these areas, they blaspheme God. You know, as long as they oppose God, as long as, you know, anyone that sings, you know, vulgar, or anyone that does anything that opposes God is, you know, is glorified and all that. But you see also, we see also as a person, and what the Bible tells us is that the beast or the Antichrist will be wounded, in that either he will be shot in the head, but then, and he will die, but then what will happen is that he will recover, and everyone will see it as a miracle, and because of that, they'll worship him, and they will also worship the devil. They will also worship the dragon, because they will ask, who is as great as the, you know, as the Antichrist, who's as great as the beast, and who is able to fight against him, you know. And also they will ask, also will also worship the devil or the dragon, because the dragon gave him this power. And verse 5 tells us that the beast was also allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And remember, we say that in the initial period, and you can correlate that with Daniel chapter 11, where we are told of the king of the south, he will rise with flattery, you know, and he will deceive the people, and then eventually he will turn. So for 42 months, which is 3.5 years, he will bla you know he will enter, he'll be given authority. But then now at that point, then he will start to blaspheme against God, especially when the church is taken away, and he will you know, blaspheme against those who dwell in heaven, and he will be allowed to wage war against God's holy people. So now the church, he will start to persecute the church. He will also, and here we highlighted that, you know, when the rapture takes place, they are those of God's people who will be found not ready. You know, you can imagine that, yes, you are a believer, yes, you knew that, you know, that God is, you know, the end will come, and you know that Jesus will come back and take the church. But you see, when he comes back for the rapture, the reality is some people will not be found ready, and then they will now start to mourn, and to remember everything that we have been teaching. Like someone who has had this teaching will remember that at that point. And then these are the people who will now try to hold themselves, and you know, to not you know, to keep themselves. But you see, at that point now, they will pay for their redemption with their bl own blood, in that at that point, anyone who's, you know, who be belongs to, you know, to God, anyone who will refuse, and later on will see the mark of the beast, at that point will be put to death. And the Bible tells us that here, anyone with ears should hear. This is verse 9. And verse 10, anyone destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. Why? Because, verse 7, he will be allowed to wage war against God's holy people to conquer them, and he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. Verse 8, and all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the foundation of the world, or before the world was made. And remember, this is, you know, you can see how scripture tells us that Christ was even slain before the world was made. That means that God's plan of redemption, for us, we understand Christ was slain, you know, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. But from the scriptures, we can see that to God, he had already decided that if this man falls, he's going to die for him. And the Bible says the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. So there are many realities in God. So Christ already did his redemptive work even before, you know, it comes to pass. So it only manifested when Christ came. But in the plan of God, it was already there before the foundation of the world. He will make man, and if man falls, I will die for him, and I died for him. So this is really just things that tell us of, you know, of God's plan for us and God's, you know, destiny for us. That's why we are predestined in Christ to be conformed, you know, to his image. Now, we see that this Antichrist will want to be worshipped, will blaspheme against God, will say negative things about God. He will exalt himself to be above God, and he will want to be worshipped. And remember, even Jesus said that, you know, that the one who comes, you know, he will blaspheme against God, and he will also, what is it called, where he will sacrifice, the pig, or, you know, the abomination that causes desolation, in that he will sit on the throne of, you know, sit in Jerusalem and sit on the throne of God and claim to be God and want to be worshipped. So, but, and the persecution, which we've also read, is one of the great signs of, you know, of the end times, is that God's people will be persecuted, but we must endure persecution patiently. Now, verse 11 says, "Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but spoke with the voice of a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. He did outstanding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. Verse 16, he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead, and no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So, what do we see about the second description of the false, of the second beast, and what we also referred to as a false prophet? So the characteristics that we see is that he comes out of the earth and he has two horns. He looks like a lamb, but speaks like the voice of a dragon. Now, this tells us the characteristics of false prophets. They will look holy, you know, they will look like church people. They will look, you know, they will have the big churches or the appearance of good, but the Bible says, but the voice is the voice of a dragon. So he looks like a lamb, and remember, the lamb refers to Christ. So he will pretend and he will look like he's Christ, but he will have the voice of a dragon. And this is where we are told that when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, they will not follow after the voice, you know, the voice of a thief. So this is now where the place where you need to ask yourself, do you know the voice of God? Can you distinguish? Do you have the spirit of discernment? Or have your ears been trained to be able to know that when this person is speaking, this is speaking by the truth of God, and when this is not speaking, this is speaking by the spirit of error? But you see, what we are told is that he will have signs. So everyone who's looking for miracles is going to be deceived. Remember, the Bible says there'll be a great deception. Even the elect, even the chosen ones, if possible, they will be deceived. And the Bible says that he You see, he was given the authority, so he exercised the authority of the first beast, of the Antichrist. And remember, this authority was given by the devil. So the false prophet will come with the power of the devil, and he will force people to worship the Antichrist. So you can see it's the Antichrist that is being worshipped. The first beast, he will force, you know, people to worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. Remember, as we'd read before, that the Antichrist was shot and then he came back to life, and people would be forced to worship him. And the Bible says also that the false prophet, or the second beast, which looks like a lamb that but with two horns but has the voice of a dragon, he will perform miracles, you know, and he will be allowed to perform on behalf. And what will he do? He will even do amazing miracles, astounding miracles, like even calling fire from heaven to come on the earth. Now, you see, when someone does that, what will we say? This is the power of Elijah. Because it is Elijah that called fire from heaven to come on the earth. But what we see is that the false prophet will even cause fire to come down from heaven to the earth in front of people. You can see it will just be like at will. I'm calling down fire. Fire will come. And fire comes, you know. And someone will be like, ah, no, this guy is the real, is the Christ. Because remember, he's a lamb. He comes with two horns as a lamb, but has the voice of a dragon. So this is where the problem were of deception. So if you're looking for signs, if you're looking for miracles, if you still don't know the voice of Christ, the voice of the Lord, then you will miss out, because the voice of the Lord is not the voice of the devil. That's why you say, you shall know them by their fruit. What is their action? How do they speak? Do they have the gentleness of the Lamb? Do they have the gentleness of the Lord? Or you can see this is someone out for their own selfish nature. So he even made people to make a great statue of the first beast, of the Antichrist, and he gave it life so that it could speak. And the statue of the beast commanded that everyone refusing to worship it must die. Now, you know, at times when you think of the imagery of, you know, of the Old Testament, and remember, this message was given to John, you know, the Revelator, through signs. So they are symbolic. So when you read Revelation, there are many things that are symbolic in nature. But now, when you think of our times, think of how now there's already virtual reality. You know, there's already, you know, you can see some of the technologies when you open the internet where they show, you know, like you can see a cartoon speaking to you, or even a person, and they tell you that, oh, I'm not a real person. I'm actually AI, but, you know, but I can speak to you. And so you can see images are being made to speak to people, you know, and this can be in hologram form and all that. And so we can see that already some of the technologies that will be used, or that are being prepared by the Antichrist, are already, you know, being made on the earth. They're already appearing where statues can speak, or where images can speak to people. And you can see that this statue will be made, and that everyone will be commanded. So that means in our world, they will make sure that it is in every place, and the statue itself will speak to you that, you know, you have to worship me. And anyone who does not bow down, small, rich, great, poor, free or slave, will die. And the Bible says that apart from that, they will also give a mark. And think of now the chips, you know. I'm sure you've come across, you know, technologies nowadays where they say nowadays even that microchip that you know, has all your banking details, has everything, is already being processed, where it can just be in a small capsule put in your hand or even on your forehead. You know, it can either be the, you know, this, what is it called, this QR codes, you know, something like that, or this barcodes. And once that is scanned, then, I mean, you can access your money, you can pay with your money. And so you can imagine all the banking system, your money in your accounts, your salaries in your accounts, everything shall be linked to your to this mark of the beast. And I believe as we see technology coming in, we can see that technology is being used and is being actually being developed to make way and to prepare. And so you can see already this technology is in place. The mark of the beast will be there, and no one will be able to buy or sell anything without that mark. And so this time, if you're not independent, if let's say you refuse that you will, you're among the people who are left behind, you're God's holy people who in the persecution period have started the Great Tribulation, and you have some form of independence where you have your farm, you have this, then you can survive. But you see, you cannot buy or sell anything without it. But what are we told? Wisdom is needed. It's a mystery in that, but we are told that his number is 666. Now, I'm not yet able to solve that mystery. But what I know is that whatever form it is, there'll be a mark that will be on the forehead and on the hand, which will be used. But remember also, for us, we have the mark of the Holy Spirit. We have the seal of the Holy Spirit. So you can't take the mark and also keep the Holy Spirit at the same time. So some people can also describe the mark as not just a physical mark, but also spiritual, which in application you could say, yes, it's possible. But what we see from the scriptures, it was a physical mark because everyone will see it. But also spiritually, what we know is that those whose names are in the book of life, those who are destined for life, have the mark, the seal, the mark of the Holy Spirit. But then everyone whose name is not written will take the mark of the beast. So we see the scriptures are very clear. A lot of these things will happen, and these are things that will happen at the mark of at the time of the end. And what we need to be is we should not be ignorant. And this is the purpose of this teaching, and I pray that God will help us understand. And even as we continue, we'll also see us at other aspects that correspond to the end times. Yes, so my brother, you're welcome. Our time is gone, but go ahead. Welcome.
Thank you, Doctor. The passage really... it's really awakening in a way that it may scare you somehow for the days that are coming ahead. Because as I was reading through, I was seeing that everyone will almost be subjected to persecution, be subjected to, you know, the torture and the suffering that will come with this big beast. But again, the encouraging word there is that even God will allow for the people to do whatever they want to do. There will not be any spiritual harm on the believer. Whatever harm that will be inflicted on you will be physical, but there's nothing spiritual that will be given to you.
Yes,
I think that is a word encouragement, that at least spiritually we will be protected.
Amen.
And the physical body will is not much of our concern.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting passage, and I was seeing somewhere that the 666 represent it's the devil is trying to mock the Trinity. The 1-6 represents the beast that is coming from the water. The other six. It's the beast that is and the devil. But again, the Bible encourages for, you know, endurance and patience in these times. I think, as we have been saying all through, that the most important thing is getting ready, being prepared for such a day. Yes. Thank you.
Amen. And even if I'll just give you one more verse in Revelation 20, from verse 7 to 10, you will see verse 10 says, "Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. So their end is already prophesied. So that's why I'm saying, as you said, there's nothing to fear about, but let's be ready. That when Christ comes, he takes us home, and that whether we'll be part of this persecution, because there are some people who will believe the believers will not escape this persecution, but there are also those who believe the rapture will take place and the believers will escape this persecution. But the reality is, either way, the believers are being persecuted today and will still be persecuted in that time. But that time, it will be a great, great tribulation, more than the world has ever seen before. But as we are ready, God will preserve us. He will keep us. And even if we die, we will be those ones in, the Bible says they are those ones who are dressed in white, who are asking, Lord, how soon until you avenge us? And I believe God will help us see some of these scriptures, because those who will have paid with their blood, those who have died during, those persecutions, they will be crying to God, God, how soon will you avenge us? And he tells them, just hold on. Yeah. So anyway, let us pray. My Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for, you teach us truth and you want us to know truth and you want us to understand the things about doctrine, the things about the last days, the things that you have prepared for us ahead of time. And I thank you that all this were written in your book before it came to be. And we cannot be surprised when it happens, but we can only know that you have promised to be with us, that as long as our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, we shall be preserved spiritually and we shall be preserved to meet you and to end up with you. And we know the destruction of the devil, the dragon, the first beast and the second beast, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they shall be destroyed. And even if they blaspheme God and they persecute, but yet you have prepared a place for your church, O God. And I pray for the victory that is ours. I thank you that this word, even as we reflect on it, that you shall speak to us more and you shall give us more understanding and you shall help us to be wise. I pray for our families, pray for our needs, pray for everyone that is looking and trusting in you for guidance, that you walk ahead of us, direct us and sustain us in everything that we do. May your name be praised and be worshipped. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Blessed day, my brother, and shalom. Yeah.